Hello, hello. We welcome you today to Love is Spoken Queer, Gospel Topics, LGBTQ plus voices. I'm Dustin Larson.
And I'm Renee Hernandez.
And Renee, we are chugging along through May. We are now at the second week of May. I hope all the mothers out there or those that identify as mothers had a wonderful Mother's Day. And so Renee, how have you been? I can't believe that we're basically halfway through the year now. What is it? No, we're almost June. Again, I don't know how to do math. I didn't go to college for math. 5 is not half of 12. But anyway, it's my half birthday. That's why I thought it was half. May is my half birthday. So in my mind, it's halfway through the year. So we are almost halfway through the year. Renee, how are you?
I am doing well, Dustin. School is officially done. I am heading home on the 12th. So Virginia Tech, instead of having, they had a big graduation, but for the grad school, they're having like mini graduations. They've been going on since last week and people signed up for a time and they come, they take pictures. The dean of the graduate school, you know, does the hooding and everything like that. And so we've been doing that. So I am working on that the last few days. And my last day of that is the 12th. And then I literally get done with that. And my buddy is going to pick me up. He's going to take me to the airport and I'm flying to Utah. So I will be in Utah while Dustin is back in the East Coast. I am heading back to the West. And I am excited because I will get to see my best friend. I'm crashing with him that night because the next day I'm actually heading off to Zion National Park because I have a race. I'm doing the Zion Ragnar. It'll be my second live race. I just had the Radford Half Marathon actually this last weekend, or the weekend of Mother's Day. And so that was awesome. And I'm super, super stoked. I'm running with a friend that I ran in Jersey, but then everybody else is a stranger to me, but I'm excited to get to know them. I love being in situations where it's new people, new environments. That's totally my vibe. And then I'll be home until one of my friends is getting married on the 22nd of May. So I'll crash there till her wedding day. And then I'll come back to Virginia. And yeah, so that's kind of like updates for me in regards to how my life is going. It's going well. I have plans and that's good. It's helped me stay focused. Like I said, it's still ups and downs emotionally. Like, can I tell you that sometimes it's like so funny for me how it feels like whiplash? You go from feeling like, oh yeah, the world is so great. It's amazing. And then suddenly like, he's like, wake up and just like emotional. You're like, oh, I'm lonely. I want to find somebody. But at the same time, you're like, well, I want to love myself first. So let me figure myself out more and then I'll get to that point. But yeah, so that's me in a nutshell. Feeling a lot less stressed because school's done. All I'm doing is I'm a research assistant. So I'm a GRA. Graduate Research Assistant. Yeah, that's the right acronym for one of my advisor.
You're a GRA.
I'm a GRA. I'm a GRA. And so that's the job that I'm doing for the summer. It's only 10 hours a week, so it's not that much, but it's helping pay the bills. And by bills, I mean, I got no money. So yeah. And you're wondering like, oh, Renee, you're traveling science. Yeah, but all I got paid when I had money. That's why I can do all that stuff. So yeah. So if y'all want to send me, you know, food my way, I wouldn't mind you ordering me something. Just throwing that out there. But Dustin, how are you doing, man? Now that I'm done begging for food and more so from our listeners.
Can you pay my bills? Can you pay my telephone bills? Can you pay my automobile bills? If you can, then we can chill.
I don't think you catch a song from the random words I've said.
But dun 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 dun.
You should go in that show. So a friend of mine was
name
telling
that
me this,
tune.
This show. Yeah, how did you know? Like they give you like certain words, mm-hmm. right? And you have to like finish it. Yeah, they were telling me about that. They're like, apparently you should do that because you're really good. I shouldn't because I'd lose in like seconds.
With Jane Krakowski, is she the host where they have you name that? And Randy Jackson is playing the piano.
I actually don't know anything about it. My friends told me about it. So that was the extent of what I knew was that you fill in the words.
Fives, a tennis speaking from 30 Rock. But anyways, I blessed your beautiful hide last week for writing your term papers and all that stuff. And I'm going to bless your beautiful hide this week for running your marathons because I am not one of knowing when endurance is happening, or I'm not an endurance junkie where you have to run this. I'm like, nah, no, thank you. I have to be tricked into my cardio. I have to be in a dance team. I have to be at the club doing it. And then afterwards I'm out of breath. But when you tell me run from here to there and it's going to be 3 days, no, thank you. But anyways, I am back in New York City. My body doesn't know where I am. It doesn't know what I am. It doesn't know when I am. And it doesn't know who I am. All of those questions that a good reporter asks in a journalistic paper, that is me. And And I need to figure out those answers right now because I have been living in my own kind of crossover time zone of East Coast, West Coast sort of mindset. Like I was up at 4 a.m. I was asleep by like 11 p.m. Like I'm working through it, but it's all good. And I'm also on week 5 of a 6-week fitness program. So it is something that I needed to kickstart my habits of back into taking care of my health and wellness because I did absolutely nothing for the duration of the pandemic. like I was telling Renee this one time where I bought some jeans right before the pandemic happened because I was blessed with some thunderous thighs from my mom's Soto jeans, like literally jeans. But we have some fully figured women, me included in my mom's side of the family, men and women fully figured. And so I have jeans that kind of my thighs rub together and then I get those holes in the crotch, that sort of area. Those out there that know what I'm talking about, raise your hands. Put your hands up. But anyways, so I got some new jeans before the pandemic and the pandemic hit. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to be wearing these out. It's sweatpants season. I'm going to wear my best sweatpants life. You can't see below my waist. So I got sweatpants. So then when I moved to Washington State to work at my dad's office, I just really all you wear is like scrubs. So I had my sweatpants, so I continued wearing them. But there was one day where I ran out of the sweatpants because I didn't do laundry in time. And so I put on those pair of jeans and those jeans literally cut off the life to the lower half of my body. And I was just like, ooh, you got to get this under control, Dustin. It wasn't like, I'm not one of those things where I am self-conscious about my body, all that stuff. But this was my body literally screaming, like, we can't breathe. And so I'm like, I got to get things back in order. So I started a fitness program that I've done before. They're actually a really fun gym in New York City. They are all about unicorns and rainbows and gay life and all that sort of stuff. So they have a 6-week program that I'm a part of. I'm on the 5th week. It's going to be one more week. And I would like to say that I tried those jeans on and they are perfect. I can lose a little bit more so that way they're not like painted on, but that's what I like. I like showing off that figure every once in a while, but I've gotten almost back to pre-pandemic. And that's just, again, because I was feeling sluggish and my jeans weren't fitting. And I'm like, I got to take control of my life again. So that is my status update. I'm trying to figure out where I am, what I am, who I am, and I'm getting my life back in order as far as health and wellness. And you know, Renee, you know what else we need to get back in order?
I'm going to say our high hallelujahs.
Yes, 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 yes. Our high hallelujahs. And this week we will be discussing Doctrine and Covenants chapter 49 through 50 through the queer perspective of light. Or I just realized, Renee, that you look like you wanted to have some commentary on my SES update. So before we get into that, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to say congrats, man. That's awesome. I am such a huge advocate for anyone trying to stay healthy and be active. Those are like my favorite things. Obviously, I'm a runner, as we've talked about before, but like, I always love when people are like, oh yeah, do you want to go do something? Like, whatever it is, I'm like so down because like, I just think it's so great for your body. You know what I mean? And just for your own mental health. So kudos to you, man. Get on that. Like, and I love that you're doing it for you. Like, that's my favorite thing too.
It's mostly because my clothes, which are my babies, don't fit. And so when my babies don't love me, I don't love myself.
Bebes. I totally got that from Schitt's Creek. Look, I can finally quote a show. What?
Back to the task at hand. Now we can get into our high hallelujahs of love and light, but just light. And so this is an odd episode. So that means I get to go first, correct?
Yes.
So here's my high hallelujah for light. God grants us his light to guide us in times of doubt. Never let yours dim.
Never let yours dim. I like that. Which actually leads into my high hallelujah pretty well, actually. So, light. Light dim and hidden struggles to shine and to grow. Be bright and stand out.
Yes! Stand out.
I kind of love that it led into yours. You're like, don't, like, with the dim. And I'm like, yeah, if your light is dimmed and, you know, hidden.
Yes.
In Inga. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
Let your light so shine, Renee.
Yes. That's basically what I was thinking, but there was too many words there. So I had to like change it to what I did.
Oh, Louise. Sorry. I was about to do a reference earlier when I said stand out, and then I stopped because I forgot, because the reference is sing out, Louise. That's like a musical theater reference. And I go stand out, and I forgot what her name was, but it's stand out, Louise. But anyways, that's another here and there. So Renee.
Yeah, but when I think of the word stand out, I think of the Goofy movie. Stand out.
Oh.
Hey, I have some songs and references too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're not many, but they're there.
Yeah. So Renee, back to the spiritual tasks at hand. When you first hear the word light, as a queer person of faith, what first comes to mind?
Illumination. I think like you think of like the light at the end of the tunnel, like there is hope. There's something better out there, you know, always. I think I always think of the campaign as a queer member. I always think of the campaign, It Gets Better. That's kind of what light always has been, right? It's the brighter something else. Yes, the shadows get intense, like that's a thing, but it also pushes them further away. They're not as close to you. So you're able to more visually see and feel warmth and what's around you. And sometimes that's all you need to really appreciate what's around you. But It Gets Better. That's what I think of.
Thank you for sharing that. Yes, as you were saying that, I was thinking about, well, I had one thing that I was thinking about, but it also kind of changed what I was thinking about, is we are all born with this light within us. Like nothing is more beautiful than the light of a newborn child into this world. Like they're so full of potential. They have their whole life ahead of them. And what's unfortunate is the moment we start growing and the moment we start living, that light gets dimmer and dimmer depending on kind of your experience. And unfortunately, those on the margins of society, theirs get dim and dim and dim. And then sometimes they just go completely out, which is so unfortunate because that is not what God wants for any of us. He wants us to let our light so shine. And it's unfortunate that the light goes out, not due to anything that we've done, not due to anything that Christ has done, but what society around us has done. And so I'm glad that you brought up the Trevor Project and that It Gets Better, because it is our job and it is our kind of commitment as queer people of faith to make sure that our lights are never dimmed and that we help reignite those lights that we start seeing dimmed, and to be beacons for others to come to us when they feel their lights are dimming, so that way we can help them through it. And the other thing that I was thinking about in regards to light was inspired by the readings of this chapter, are that the world can kind of be a dark kind of place. And especially for queer people of faith, we aren't sure exactly how we're supposed to navigate through life as a queer person of faith. And this kind of piggybacks on last week when we were talking about guidance, where there isn't any true guidance that we can follow as queer people of faith. And sometimes we feel like we're going at it without a light. But the thing is we do have a light. We just need to remember to turn on the light, which is turn to Christ and turn to God and have them shine it upon us. And one of the things that jumped out at me in these scriptures are God kind of starts, we have that spark that I was talking about earlier, where we have that light. And as we kind of grow into the age of accountability, when we start realizing what is happening around us in life and that life is actually kind of scary and it's not all Disney movies and Blue's Clues and that sort of thing. Like when we kind of grow out of it, we our light starts to dim out of fear and out of discouragement and out of confusion of not knowing where to go. And God is right there for us and allows us to kind of slowly brighten that light back to what it used to be. And in Doctrine and Covenants chapter 49, starting with verse 12, he kind of shows us the three steps it takes to turn that light back on and that spiritual light back on. And the first one is in verse 12. It says, "Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus, who was on the earth and is to come, the beginning and the end." And so that's the first step in kind of regaining our spiritual life that we may have lost as we started growing up. And this could be for non-members, this could be for members, but anytime we start to kind of lose that testimony and that light within us, we just need to remember that we need to believe, truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that could be as someone who is a member of the church, that could be me building a true testimony, not the cookie cutter testimony that I just repeated that I was handing handed down as a child, but to really think about what is my true testimony of Jesus Christ. And then that leads to verse 13, where it says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, according to the holy commandment for the remission of sins. So that is you turning up the light one more dial up, is you've got the brightness of Christ back in your life. And so you turn it up one more by repenting and becoming baptized, which then leads you to the third sort of watt that you turn that light back up to. And it's, whoso doeth this shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on the hands of the elders of the church. And why this is kind of reignites your light. This is what I said. I said, as a queer person of faith, I am grateful for the guiding light that is the Holy Ghost. I can always rely on its rays of inspiration to shine through in times of uncertainty and doubt. And I think this is really important as queer people of faith, because sometimes we come across doctrine, which we're about to come across in a few seconds, that is confusing to us. And it kind of sheds darkness and discouragement on us, which kind of starts to dim our light. But the beauty of the Holy Ghost is they are a beacon of spiritual personal revelation, which we turn to, and it can shine through that darkness and discouragement to allow us to see things that we didn't see before in scriptures that usually led to discouragement. And I really feel like we need to rely heavily on the Holy Ghost, because again, I've talked about this on the podcast a lot, that there's a lot of confusion between doctrine and culture. And sometimes we get so blinded by the culture of the church that it kind of discourages us to look a little bit deeper or completely avoid doctrine altogether, namely kind of the proclamation of the family or marriage, which it talks about in these chapters here, because we're afraid of what we'll find. But when I went back looking at it with the light in mind, like that is our theme, and kind of relying a lot on the Holy Ghost, I saw things that I didn't see before that brought me actually encouragement rather than discouragement. But before we get into these kind of heavy topics that we're about to get into for the section, what are your thoughts so far as far as having the Holy Ghost as our light and the kind of steps leading to it?
First of all, yes, the topic we're about to talk about is going to be interesting, because for me, I've mentioned before that is one of the biggest questions I'm still trying to have an answer from Heavenly Father and from, you know, just my own life. But I definitely don't think I could do it without the Holy Ghost, like knowing that the Spirit would be there to confirm and guide me. I definitely agree that I think that is the best way we can go, because a lot of times, like we've mentioned, I think in past podcasts about the roadmap, we don't have one. So the Holy Ghost is one of the best gifts we've been given to be able to navigate our lives here on earth. And when it comes to the issues of family and marriage, it's a big one. So that's all I'm going to say, because I'm curious, because you mentioned in a text message that you had thoughts. And I am really curious to hear what these thoughts are, because my thoughts are, if we could say that there's a topic that I am mostly always hurt in or confused by, or that makes me question everything, is probably the subject of family and the proclamation to the family, marriage and the proclamation to the family, to be honest. Do I still say yes? Because I still love so much more, and Heavenly Father has blessed me so much in so many ways. But this is the part I do struggle the most. I think I texted that back to you. I was like, this is a topic that's very loaded for me. I'm turning it to you, because I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Okay, to preface this discussion, in these chapters, there is a certain individual, and again, I'm really bad with names. I'm good at telling stories, and I could tell you the stories, but if you tell me the name, I can't remember. But anyways, so one of the newly converted members of the church was part of the Shakers, what was known as the Shakers, and they had these set of beliefs where he was bringing them from the Shakers to the LDS faith and kind of was like asking whether or not this is in line with this new church. There are some other things that were happening that people were kind of confused on. Is this the light of the Holy Ghost or the Spirit telling us to do this? Or is this kind of the adversary kind of sneaking in and pulling a fast one on us? So that's what the kind of the preface to these chapters and this discussion is. And one of the things that they talk about are marriage. And so the light that was shined on me was when I saw this as I was scrolling through the manual and I saw it come up. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. So it's going to be marriage is between a man and a woman. It's divinely decided in the pre-existence that what your gender is. Like, I thought we were going to go on that whole sort of tangent of leading into the proclamation of the family, which I think the manual tried to do with a lot of its wording and a lot of the verbiage that it used. But if you kind of pull that away and you see exactly what the Lord was trying to shine a light on, it wasn't the fact that marriage had to be between a man and a woman. It was the fact that marriage was essential to the experience on Earth. And they were shining this light because the Shakers believed in permanent celibacy, not getting married at all. So even the reason why this question was being asked wasn't, God, should marriage only be between a man and a woman? It was Joseph Smith and the members of the church asking, God, what is the role of marriage in general, in our experience as a human? And so then that is when the revelation came through. And it's Doctrine and Covenants chapter 49, verse 15. It says, and again, verily I say unto you, that whoso forbiddeth to marry is not ordained of God, for marriage is ordained of God unto man. And it's just saying that God is saying that marriage is essential unto man. And that's just nomenclature of just saying it's necessary for man or human or generalization of a population that marriage is important. Then it goes on to verse 16. It says, wherefore it is lawful that he should have one wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, and all this that the earth might answer the end of its creation. Again, it's just then further specifying that marriage is good and that marriage should only be between you and one other individual. And at that point in time, marriage between a man and a woman was the only thing recognized. I don't even think they had a word for homosexuality back then, if I remember right. I don't think that term was fully even developed until, I want to say, the 1920s or something like that. I can't remember. It was like in Germany or something like that, some social doctor or something. I can't remember. I'm going to go back and fact check myself. But homosexuality wasn't even a thought back then. There wasn't even a thing. So again, it's just all about terms of the time that are used. And they don't even say in these scriptures that marriage is between a man and a woman. Yes, I'm going into some really weird doctrine right here, and it's the gospel according to Dustin. But looking at what the Spirit and the light shone on me in these scriptures right here is the focus of marriage, and the question that was being asked wasn't, is it between a man and a woman? It's, what's the role of the experience of humans? What role does marriage place? I found it really interesting that it was the manual and it was more modern day texts that added in that marriage is between a man and a woman. It didn't mention anything in the Doctrine and Covenants scriptures. It was the manual that said marriage between a man and a woman is essential to God's plan, when technically they should have just said marriage is essential to God's plan, because that is what the scriptures are talking about right here. Nowhere did it ever ask to be clear about what it was between. It's just that it was essential. And then going on into the manual, it says, what truths about marriage do you learn from Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 49, 15 through 17? The truth that I learned is that it is essential for the experience of humans. That's what I learned, is it's essential. And then it goes on to say, why do you feel marriage between a man and a woman is essential to Heavenly Father's plan? And it goes on to say, Elder David A. Bednar gave two reasons. Reason one, the natures of male and female spirits complete and perfect each other, and therefore men and women are intended to progress together toward exaltation. Yes. So it's saying that you need a partner in order to complete one another to progress. I don't see why gender plays a role in that, because you can find someone that completes yourself and move towards exaltation. And I'm not going to say anything more on that, because that gets into kind of controversial territory. And then the next reason, it says, reason two, by divine design, both a man and a woman are needed to bring children into mortality and to provide the best setting for the rearing and nurturing of children. So basically, it's saying that marriage is the pathway to bring children into this world. And the reason for that is we have the potential to bring children into this world. And that's what's needed in order to enter into a marriage. So when we talk about this, we have to think about not only queer people, but people that live with infertility. Does that mean they aren't able to reach the highest potential because they aren't able to physically have children themselves without the help of kind of medical things? No, I think the fact that they have the potential to bring children into this earth makes them worthy to be in a marriage to bring those in. And so then if you think about it, we as males or men, or we identify as men, have the potential to bring children into the world. We just need to have the other half of that bring into the world as well. Like, everyone has a potential to rear children and bring them into the world. It might not just be the biological way of doing it. We could do it through adoption. We can do it through a surrogate. We could do it through this. We could do it through that. So that's the light that brought onto my mind. It's not the question of marriages between a man and a woman in these chapters. It's what does the role that marriage plays in the eternal plan? And the light that the Spirit was telling me is it's essential to progress. And the two factors of why it is essential is you need to have someone other than yourself to kind of complete yourself and tie yourself to be your partner on your way to exaltation. And then the second thing is you need to have the ability to possibly bring children into this world. And I don't think it necessarily matters how you bring them into this world other than you are able to provide them the health and security that is necessary in order to help them progress to the next part of their life. So that is me and my thoughts on this and what the Spirit kind of spoke to me. And the reason why I'm saying this is, I hope I'm not being too controversial, is when it comes to topics of this importance that sometimes us as queer people of faith kind of push to the side because we feel rejected, we feel scared of reading something that we aren't included in, we don't do a deeper dive with the Spirit as our guide. But if we do, we can see that there is more potential in these scriptures and more ability for us to see ourselves in these scriptures that would be taken from us if we just kind of put them to the side. And what I'm saying is we need to trust in the Spirit to shine light on certain things that we are afraid to read in order for us to find confidence in seeing our queer experiences in these readings. So that way we don't feel despair when reading these scriptures, but we find more hope and encouragement. So now, Renee, I'm going to turn it over to you.
This is why I think this topic is kind of heavy for me, because like everything you said, I love it to be true. Like, and I say that not as an insult or degrade any of the statements you've made, because I think they were beautiful, beautifully made. But in my mind, I'm just like refuting some of the stuff you said, right? Like in regards to the context of the word, it's like, yes, but you said it yourself. In that time, homosexuality wasn't a concept. So anything that was verbalized or stated was in regards to men and women, because that was the only standard that existed. So if a statement is made, you can healthily assume that it was talking about a man and a woman, even if the scripture itself didn't state that. That's the context of the reality of that time. And like you said, homosexuality wasn't a concept. So why would they bring it up? They would just make the statement in the understanding that they're talking about a man and a woman. That's my brain says, right? And then the other part was like, well, in regards to procreation, kind of like, we have technology now that allows us to extend our lives, and we approve of that. So we also have technology now that allows us to procreate in more ways than one. And so that is a blessing. Like they said, Heavenly Father gives us the knowledge and wisdom to be able to do his works on earth. So who'd be to argue that it said that homosexuality came attached with that knowledge? You know what I mean? To continue that growth and blessing on this earth through other means than just, the sexual connection between a man and a woman, but like also the scientific means that we exist. And so thoughts of that like jump around my head, where like one argues the other one supports the other, if that makes sense. And that's what I think I loved what you said at the end, is just like really is trusting in the Spirit, and that will in the end guide you to the testimony that you build in regards to this. And for me, this is like, do I believe in families? 1,000%. Do I believe that being together with someone forever and through marriage and, you know, being together with one other person is brilliant and beautiful? Yes. Are you kidding me? Totally. I wouldn't have been feeling all the emotions I did about Tommy if I didn't believe that, you know? It's just trying to really understand it on why, for me, the hardest part of trying to understand is why the church, not necessarily the gospel, won't allow me to do it. And that's hard because I love it. I love the church. I love the gospel. And so that's the part for me that's hard sometimes. So those are my thoughts in regards to your thoughts. I'm not going to add many more because the scriptures themselves on these verses don't talk too much on it. It's like you said, it just kind of highlights that marriage is important and essential to the Lord's plan.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. And again, like I started introducing some other doctrine that kind of speak on it, but in these, if you look and you shine the light specifically on these verses and you shine the light on the reason for these verses, nowhere does it say that marriage is between a man and a woman. That wasn't even the question being asked. It was, what is the role of marriage? And I think the verses leading into those, where I was talking about, like, these are the three things to kind of bring your light into focus. And then this is what the Spirit was telling me. It was telling me, don't focus on things that aren't mentioned in these specific scriptures at this point in time, because it's going to discourage you. I want you to cut through and see what these scriptures are telling you. And what it's telling you is that marriage is essential. And the reason why it's essential is so that you can bring in celestial beings back into the earth to allow them to go on their journey. And that's all that was should have been the focus on in these scriptures, because that's all that the actual verses were saying. And I just think it's kind of just the church kind of covering themselves by including marriage between a man and a woman is essential, because it's just one, it's, it reminds you that the church is a earthly organization where sometimes they have to cover themselves in the verbiage that they use. Could they have gotten the point across what these scriptures were saying by just saying marriage is essential? Yes. But I think they were trying to cover themselves with, again, you have to see them as an organization. So I think that's why they brought it in. And I think that's what the Spirit was telling to me, was don't let these other nomenclature, just verbiage, distract you from the fact that the question was, how, what does role does marriage play? It's essential to your salvation, and it's something that you should strive for. We as queer people of faith don't know how we fit into that quite yet, but we shouldn't be discouraged, because not all the answers are given to us right now. It's just focusing on these scriptures at hand. And kind of in that same sort of vein, moving on to Doctrine and Covenants chapter 50, verse 24, it says, that which is of God is light, and he that receiveth light and continueth in God receiveth more light, and that light groweth brighter and brighter until the perfect day. And I said, as a queer person of faith, I need to never forget that my experiences are valid and of God, which to him is light. This divine light will continue to grow and cast away all the attempts to dim and discredit my existence as a child of God. And kind of to tie those into what I was talking about before, is there's all these haters out there, for lack of a better term, that are trying to discourage us from our queer existence and saying, you're not a full member of the church, nor will you ever be. And even if you claim to be, I'll never acknowledge you as such. And these verses are telling us that God says that anything that is of him is light. So if we are queer people of faith, we strive to be like Christ. We strive to be disciples of Christ. That makes us light. And the more that we build upon that, the more light God will pour upon us and kind of drive out the darkness. And I know that that is, I think, a Martin Luther King quote, and I'm completely blanking on the rest of it, but something like the only thing that can drive out darkness is light. I'm not even going to go further into it, because I forgot what it is. But basically, our light will kind of drive out the darkness and the discouragement that we feel put upon us by those that don't see us as full members of the church. But we need to remember that if we turn to God and we try to make our experiences as in line with his will as possible, that light will not be dimmed, and that light will only get brighter the more that we put into it.
I actually had the same scripture as noted, similar, just like a different vein of it. Also, by the way, the quote is, darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that.
Yes, thank you for that. I knew I was doing a disservice to that quote by trying to butcher it with my memory, but thank you for bringing up the true quote, because it still is completely relevant to what we were talking about.
Yes, totally. That's why I figured, you know, it'd be nice to put it in the right way. But let me reread that scripture actually again. It says, verse 24, that which is of God is light, and he that receiveth light and continueth in God receiveth more light, and that light groweth brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. I love that. I think when I was reflecting on it, it made me think of my current journey, where I've been trying to take every day by the day, like not next week, not next month, like, but day by day. And I love that how it said, and that light groweth brighter and brighter until the perfect day. I was just thinking of like our journeys, like yours, Dustin, and my journey, all the queer members' journeys, and everyone else's journey. We've said it before, our lives' journeys weren't decided in the blink of an eye. It was like little by little, the light that we so shine now through this podcast when we wreck others grew slowly. And those were the blessings, the gifts, the talents, everything we've developed as queer members of the church that allow us to navigate the murkiness of not knowing the hurt of certain words, and just the love and the inspiration that we feel. That's light that's growing within us. And it's approaching day by day. It gets getting stronger and stronger to the day that, you know, that perfect day. And to me, that perfect day is that moment you meet someone in your life who looks at you and says, hey, I need help and I don't know how to do this. I know you've been through this. Can you help me? That for me is the perfect day where the light that you have so shines and you can share it. And Heavenly Father is preparing us for that day. And I'm so stoked for that. Yeah. Along with that, though, I would also like to add the end verses. You probably have them too in Doctrines and Covenants 50. It's verses 40 through 44. Did you make a note? Did you highlight those on your end too?
I actually did not. So they're all yours.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. So I love these verses and I think they speak so beautifully. So I'm going to read them. Doctrines and Covenants 50 starts in verse 40. And it says, behold, you're little children and you cannot bear all things now. You must grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. And as I read this, think about it in the queer perspective, like as a queer individual, and I love it. Fear not, little children, for you are mine, and I have overcome the world, and you are of them that my Father hath given me. And none of them that my Father hath given me shall be lost. And the Father and I are one. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And inasmuch as ye have received me, you are in me, and I in you. Wherefore I am in your midst, and I am the good shepherd and the stone of Israel. He that buildeth upon this rock shall never fall. I love that. Like, it's just like this idea of you're not alone and you're going to grow and you're going to overcome the world. Every challenge that is placed before you, you're going to overcome it. Just trust and have faith in the Lord. And he will like help you navigate every piece of this whole journey, no matter how difficult, no matter how hard, no matter how impossible it may seem. Like if I may overshare, like when me and Tommy broke up, like I was a mess, like sometimes I still had a mess, but like turning to Heavenly Father and the Lord and the Holy Spirit in prayer, like was my main source of finding strength in something that I honestly thought I was not going to come out of. Like I went into a very dark spiral, and these scriptures, when I read them, really made me feel loved and cared for and understood by Heavenly Father and the Lord. And so I wanted to share them because sometimes we need that, you know, someone to feel understood, because it sucks when you feel like you're just completely alone.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. I completely agree that sometimes when we feel alone, we just want to be seen, and it's nice to know that we are seen and we're treated as little children by Heavenly Father in Christ, because it means that they have a little bit more mercy on our mistakes that we make. And we are just basically little children in the grand scheme of things of like eternal life, because we're learning. We're basically in preschool. Like we have a whole lot to learn before we spend our time in the eternities learning even more. And we shouldn't allow our loneliness to dim our light, because our light is needed in order to kind of, again, guide those that are coming after us. And Heavenly Father and Christ are allowing us to kind of shine our lights, and they'll help us like they will help little children. When they see little children struggling, they'll be right there to kind of help us shine our light. And that kind of leads me into kind of the wrap up of our discussion. And it's a question from the manual. And it says, and I kind of changed it a little bit. It says, what can we do as queer people of faith to make our gospel light continue to grow? Just like how we are growing as spiritual children.
I'm trying to think. This answer seems, I feel like I don't want to answer just like whatever willy-nilly. It's just, I think I've mentioned this before. One of the things that for me is like to shine bright is like find the way to love yourself fully. And like love all the different aspects of yourself, because I think then you'll be able to share that love beyond yourself. And I think working to uplift others is such a great way to like grow the light within you, to share the light to others. And I know that sounds corny and whatnot, but I think it's so true. You don't know what people are going through. You know what you're going through. So show yourself the love that you deserve to be the best loved person in your life, and then help others feel that love too. I think that's what I would say.
No, thank you for that. I completely agree, because I think that starting by loving yourself is the catalyst to so many other things. It allows us to love other people. It allows us to love God. And it also allows us to not let our love for ourselves be dimmed, especially when we were talking about certain things like earlier with like the marriage and all that sort of thing. It allows us to cut through, because if we love ourselves, we'll have enough self-confidence to not let certain things working against us discourage us. And we can cut through and see that certain doctrine isn't meant to work against us. How it's used is how it's working against us, not the doctrine itself. So I think if we're able to love ourselves and have that self-confidence to combat discouragement, no matter where it comes from, we can then pass that on to other people, which in turn will make our light grow by adding the light of others. So I think that's a perfect answer to the question, because our light only grows brighter with time and with self-confidence and with love. And then it grows brighter with the addition of other people that we then pass that light on to.
Totally full support of that, because I don't know. I think when we as queer members of the church, there is a level of trauma that takes place as we grow. I want to say that there isn't, but there is. I've had friends who've been members their whole lives, and I want to say their level of struggle and trauma is a lot higher than mine. And we all deal with it differently. And I think that's one thing I like about the concept of light. Do you know how like light, there's a spectrum of light, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to turn into scientific things, light isn't just this white color. There's blue light, there's red light, there's all these different lights. And they have, and purple light, they have different effects, right? You're talking about plants, some help grow plants better than others. Certain lights help us better, like white light helps us, you know, feel better about things sometimes too. And it's kind of like that. Each of our lights are going to be different and unique in their own way. And you're going to be in that light, whether you're a blue light, a red light, a green light, you're going to be able to impact individuals who are at your spectrum and help them grow. And so I think it is such a beautiful concept of light when you associate it to the growth and the eternal concepts that are in the gospel to help us really connect with individuals who will grow from the spectrum of light that we produce and that we've developed. And we've developed well enough that it shines brightly that it can reach a broader range of people.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. And yes, the white light is a conglomeration of all the colors in the rainbow. And when you kind of break it with a prism, you get to see each one represented individually, which I think is a beautiful kind of image to kind of leave our listeners with and to kind of close up this discussion. So again, thank you for bringing it full circle to kind of a queer kind of image that we can leave the listeners with. And I think right now is a great place to take a short break. And welcome back from the break. You are listening to Love is Spoken Queer, and Renee and I have just finished discussing Doctrine and Covenants chapters 49 through 50 through the queer perspective of light. And so, Renee, based on our discussion today, what do you feel called to do?
To shine my light and help others, / help my light grow. That's been one of my biggest focus right now myself. It's reflecting and trying to grow my own light. I have a goal for myself. I want to be better at uplifting people. I feel like a lot of times, even my friends have told me, sometimes when I joke, they can be kind of demeaning. And so I want to not do that anymore because I want to lift up others. And so I'm going to help my light grow so that I can figure out why I choose to joke in the way that I sometimes do. And so I can stop.
Thank you for sharing that. I feel called to continue relying on the light of the Spirit to kind of reveal further truths within the gospel that I kind of was afraid to kind of navigate through based on certain preconceived notions of what I might find, and not be surprised, but be kind of encouraged by what I find, because that is exactly what personal revelation is for and what the Holy Ghost is for, is to shine light on different gospel topics that you never saw before. And that's what's the beauty of the gospel and the beauty of further scripture study, is certain things are illuminated at certain periods of time based on where you are in life, based on what your mood is, and to continue kind of letting the Holy Spirit kind of guide me through some of these doctrine that may feel dark at first, and to know that discouragement can easily be chased out with the light that I find within myself.
That's beautiful, Dustin. Thanks so much for sharing that.
And listeners, if you'd like to contribute any of your thoughts to this week's episode, feel free to send them into our Gmail account, which is lovespokenqueer@gmail.com, or you can send us a direct message on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. And Renee, before we go, do you have any last words for the listeners for the rest of this week?
Yes, we love you. We love you very much. And we hope that if you're struggling, you know that it's going to get better. And if you're thriving, continue to do so and continue smiling. It's beautiful to see all your smiles. I think the most beautiful humans in the world are the ones that smile.
And with that, the last thing we have to do is thank our listeners for listening and remember to always be true to you.
And love one another.
Until next time.
До свидания.
Bye. Ciao. You've just listened to another episode of Love is Spoken Queer. If you want to join in on the conversation, feel free to send us an email at our Gmail account, which is lovespokenqueer@gmail.com, or send us a direct message on our social channels. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you really love our episodes and our show, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. That is the fastest way for us to share our words with everyone out there. So again, thank you for listening.